Thank you, Mark, for listening to the Lord and writing that song. I am ministered to it by it in a huge way, so I'm grateful for it. When Chris was praying for families in our church who are grieving, I just want to let you know that one of those families is the Krantz family this week. Phil Krantz went to be with the Lord and passed away this week. So I encourage you to be keeping Jan and the rest of the family in your prayers. We don't have the service yet scheduled, but as soon as we do, we'll let everybody know. And encourage you to be praying for them and connect with them. It's our time now to come to the Lord's Word. And as I was thinking about this short little sermon series that we're doing, Let's Pray, you might be wondering, why in the world are we doing a series about prayer? You may not be wondering that, but just in case you are, let me tell you. At the very end of April, if you can think back about that, our church session, and that's our leadership board of elders for our church. We met for our annual session retreat. And one of the things that we made for our goal as a session retreat was that we would identify some focus areas for the coming year. So we talked a lot about our current status as a church, how we're doing, particularly how we're doing as it relates to the things we learned about being a Great Commission church. And we spent time in prayer and we spent time in discussion, and we began in that process to recognize some areas that really need our attention as a church, our special focus that we need to give relative priority to. And so over the next months after that, at our monthly session meetings, we continue to kind of nail those things down. And now each ministry team is taking these three focus areas and really taking those into consideration as we begin to budget for the next year and plan. Already they've influenced the plans for this coming school year. And I laid those three things out in a little bit more detail in the email that I sent out on Thursday called the First Press Weekly. If you don't get that, I really encourage you to call the church office or write your email down or something to get that, because that for me is one of the primary ways I communicate and our pastoral staff primarily communicates with the church about what's important and what's happening. So if you want to know my heart on things, that weekly is one of the things to look at. So I know a lot of you probably get it and delete it, and I still love you, but I encourage you to read it. And if you didn't get a copy of it this last week, please talk to me, because I have some copies, some physical copies I can give you. But one of those three areas of focus for this coming year that we really felt like the Lord wanted us to focus on is something that we call preemptive prayer. Preemptive prayer is prayer that goes before the ministry. It's prayer that goes before the activity of the congregation, asking God to make those ministries and those activities effective for growing the church deep and wide. It's kingdom focused prayer. It's mission focused prayer. It's outward looking prayer. It's prayer that aligns our hearts with the mission that God has for our city and our world. It's one of the primary disciplines of a church that is effectively participating in God's call to go out and make disciples who are learning to obey everything that Jesus commanded. And that's why it's something that we want to nurture and develop more in our congregation, in our church. That's why I'm inviting you again and again to our awesome time of prayer on Friday mornings from 6:30 to 7:15. And today's scripture in Luke chapter 10 is perhaps more, maybe more directly than any other biblical text, I think, makes the call to the church to participate in preemptive prayer. I think it's one of the most important and encouraging texts also when it comes to understanding what God is doing right now in the world and Jesus' call for his disciples. That's anyone here who has put their faith in Jesus to be part of it, what God is doing through prayer and action. And so I invite everybody to look at me this morning in the Bible. And Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. It's in your pew Bibles in front of you on page 1611. Please look at that with me, and let's read this scripture and hear God's holy word to us this morning. I just invite you right now to just receive God's word for us this morning. It says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may God use it today to shape us into his people. Well, the passage starts with two words, after this. So that points to the context of the passage, which is Luke chapter 9. That's the one right before chapter 10. And the context is that Jesus is now on his way south. He's heading towards Jerusalem. Look at verse 51 in chapter 9. It says, as the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and his plan on the way was to proclaim the kingdom of God in word and deed throughout the villages between where he was and Jerusalem. But before he went into those villages, he wanted to send out an advance team, which I think is just fascinating. He sends out the advance team to begin the work to see which villages will be welcoming to his ministry and to begin actual kingdom ministry in those places. So verse 1 says, the Lord, that is Jesus, appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So he appointed 72 to go. And if you flip back to the beginning of Luke chapter 9, you'll see that there Jesus sends out the 12 disciples on a very similar mission. But here he sends out 72. Why 72? I don't know. But I know that the difference between 12 and 72 is hugely important because it tells us first that there was a growing number of followers of Jesus, of followers who were committed to him. These weren't just the crowds that were interested in hearing what he was teaching or wanting to receive the healing power that he could offer them. These were people committed, obviously, to following Jesus and participating in his message. And we don't think about that group much beyond the 12, but this clearly shows that there were way more than 12 who were with Jesus in his mission. It's also important because it reminds us that Jesus' plan was never to only have 12 sent ones. Clearly, he spent the most amount of his time developing these 12 leaders. And even amongst that, he had the three leaders among them. But he's already modeling from one chapter to the next the principle of multiplication, of leadership. It's even though the 12 were his primary leaders, Jesus engages the larger group of followers in his mission. And so it's a reminder that engaging in Jesus's mission is not just for the leaders of the church. It's for the whole church. And it's for the church to do together, never alone. Jesus sends them out two by two. He sends them out in teams. Isn't life better in a team? Absolutely. Never alone to go ahead of him and do the ministry. But listen to what he tells them as he sends them out. I've chosen not to focus on the whole pregame speech, but that goes all the way down to verse 16, because I really want us to focus in today just on the first two verses of his instruction to that group of 72. And it's not clear to me whether the 72 included the 12 or it says others. So maybe it was 72 other than the 12. But either way, there's a whole lot of people in that 72 who have never gone on mission like this before. And so let's listen to what Jesus tells them. First phrase, he starts by saying, the harvest is plentiful. He starts, in other words, church, with incredibly good news. That's why I think you should underline that in your Bibles. The harvest is plentiful. What is a harvest? The kids gave their best effort at it, right? A harvest is the ripened crops that are gathered. It's the yield of the growing season. We in Fresno know about what a harvest is, right? Jesus says that the ripened fruit is plentiful. Praise God. I mean, that's the message that every farmer wants to hear, right? Right? So you see, he doesn't say, you guys, the field is vast, or the grove is huge. He doesn't say it's a big, big world out there, and in it there will just be a few who are ready to receive your message. No. He says some incredibly good news. He says that the harvest is plentiful. You know what that means? That means that as these 72 go out into these towns and places, they will encounter people who are ready to be engaged, People who are welcoming to them and to their message. People whose hearts are already ripened by God's Spirit to hear and receive the message of God's kingdom. Isn't that good news? Yeah. And that means that as we go into this city, we can believe that the harvest is still plentiful. That God is at work beyond these walls to prepare hearts to be open for the gospel message. It's not like one of those Easter egg hunts, you know, where there are like 72 kids standing on the edge of a massive field that only has 10 eggs in it. And so the competitive kids, they're already scoping out which kids they're going to take out on the way to get one of those 10 eggs. And the other kids are like, well, forget about it. I'm not even going to run. No, it's more like Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. So it's more like those 72 kids are standing on the edge of a field with 10,000 eggs ready to be picked up. And they're wondering, how are we possibly going to get all of these eggs? My basket isn't big enough. Beloved, if we think that we live in a world where nobody really wants to hear the good news about Jesus, where very few people are really interested in hearing how Jesus changed your life, then we are wrong. And often that kind of wrong thinking is one of the main reasons that keeps us from engaging in Christ's mission. We need to change our thinking to align with what the Scripture says, with what Jesus says. The harvest is plentiful. And it feels a lot different to go out and work a harvest that is plentiful than one that is minimal. In fact, the harvest is so plentiful that Jesus says there aren't enough workers. The workers are few. It's a huge problem. The fields are ready for harvest, but there aren't enough workers to keep up with it. But Jesus has an answer. Did you see it? His answer is twofold. Pray as you go. Look at that second half of verse 2. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I like the English Standard Version, the ESV, better here. It says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I like pray earnestly. I think that's more right to the text than just ask. And first of all, I want you to know that there is a Lord of the harvest. Right? God is in charge of the harvest. Jesus is saying, pray to the Lord of the harvest. God is in charge of the harvest. Jesus said, another place, that people don't come to the Son unless what? Unless the Father draws them. And yet, God works through his workers to share the message so that those who are drawn, those who are ripe, can put their faith in Jesus. No one comes to faith in Jesus unless someone speaks the gospel to them. So they are called to pray. These disciples are called to pray earnestly, to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, that is preemptive prayer, right? It's kingdom prayer. It's mission prayer, asking God to send out workers to join him in Jesus's mission to the world of evangelism and justice and righteousness and shalom. And I believe that we, church, are called to the same kind of prayer. That's why we've been praying that God would send members of our church to relocate, to live in this new neighborhood that God has built right outside our front door. That's why some of us have been praying that God would raise up from among us a team from our congregation to go onto the foreign mission field where the church has yet to be established. That's why we've been praying that God would help us to recognize the mission field of our everyday, regular lives, and that he would send us as his workers into the harvest field of our everyday life. The reality is, see, that most of us, church, we are already out among the harvest. We are in the harvest field. But Jesus calls us to pray that God would send workers into his harvest. That just means people who are engaging with Jesus in his mission, people who are living their daily lives with gospel intentionality, not just people who are living in the field, but people who are living in the field on purpose. Jesus calls us then to earnestly pray for God to send out workers like that into the harvest field. So let me just pause and ask you some questions to reflect on. Is that kind of prayer a regular part of your prayer life? And if it is, how have you seen God answer that prayer? And if it isn't yet a regular part of your prayer life, why? Why not? What has kept you from being obedient to Christ's call for us to pray in this way? Is it ignorance? Is it distraction? Is it apathy? Whatever it is that is keeping you, my brother or sister, from praying like this, ask God to help you remove that barrier so that you might be obedient to this clear command. Jesus calls us to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into the harvest field. But did you notice the very next words from Jesus? He doesn't just tell them to pray, does he? He also tells them to go. Verse 3, go! I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. So he doesn't just want them to pray that God will send other people as workers into the field. He wants them to also be workers going into the field as they pray. Again, I think the ESV captures a bit more of the original language. It says, go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. It includes that word, behold. I love that because after Jesus says, go, he says, behold. In other words, check it out. Listen carefully. Pay attention. And then he says, I am sending you. And it makes me wonder if the 72 kind of gulped at that point, right? I mean, maybe this was the prayer team in Luke chapter 9. The prayer team that supported the 12 as they went out. We're going to pray for you. You know, God bless you as you go. We're praying for you, and that's absolutely necessary. But now Jesus calls the prayer team into action. He says, I am sending you out. He says, I'm sending you out. How? Like lambs among wolves. Now, if Jesus' opening words about the harvest being plentiful were inspiring and encouraging, then this whole lambs among wolves thing might have kind of killed the mood. Probably would have sounded a little bit different. But I don't think actually it's meant to mean that they're just going to go out there and get torn to pieces and devoured and eaten up by the world. I don't think Jesus is describing what's going to happen to them when they go. I think he's describing how they are supposed to go. Yes, they are going to be among wolves. Even though the harvest is plentiful, there are wolves among the harvest. There are those who will do more than just resist the gospel. They will try to defeat the gospel. They will try to snuff out the gospel. But here, Jesus tells them not to go out with that same mindset. They're not to go out there as kingdom wolves, forcing themselves onto the communities that they will visit, taking down in Jesus' name any person who stands in their way. No, they're to go out as lambs. This is so instructive for us, church. They're to go out as lambs. Lambs are peaceful. Lambs are innocent. Lambs are humble, confident that they are the ones sent by Jesus, but humble, confident humility. And when they go like that, they are ready to speak the truth and grace of Jesus. So, beloved, how are you doing at praying as you go? Jesus doesn't only say pray, and Jesus doesn't only say go. He calls us to pray as we go. And so we pray. We pray with faith that He is the Lord of the harvest, a harvest that by His Spirit is plentiful. And we pray that God would send workers, laborers into the world, into places like our neighborhoods, into places like our high schools and our workplaces, into places like downtown Fresno and Fresno State University and Raisin City, into places like Southeast Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa and the Gulf of Arabia. And then we go with faith, that same faith that we are the sent ones of God. We go wherever He sends us, whether it's near or far, and we go as lambs among wolves. We pray as we go. How are you doing at praying as you go? If going seems as a worker into the fields seems like too big of a stretch for you right now, well, then I encourage you to start with prayer. Pray. Pray earnestly that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into His harvest fields. If you go into a place and you recognize that there is a need for the kingdom to be evident there, pray earnestly that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into His harvest fields. Because when we pray that prayer, church, from our hearts, I believe the Lord stirs in us and begins to align our hearts with His mission and with His heart. God uses preemptive prayer to align hearts, our hearts, with His mission. For example, nearly 5 years ago, I came to be your pastor. And before that, I was not looking for a new assignment. I didn't feel like it was the right time to make a move from where we were. In fact, I believe that I would have missed the incredible opportunity to be on mission in this city with you if it hadn't been for this one thing that God called me to do: pray. When Pastor Jamie Evans took his life in 2010, I began to pray. I began to pray for you as a church. I prayed that God would bring you healing. I prayed that God would bring you together in unity under the mission and the work of Jesus that He wanted to continue to do in and through you in this city. I pray that God would prepare the heart of whoever that next senior pastor would be, that God would prepare them and get them ready to lead you well into the mission of this city and what God wants to do in this great city of Fresno. And church, I prayed that for more than a year before I ever even imagined that God might be calling me to be that next senior pastor. You see, when we pray preemptively, when we pray kingdom prayers, when we pray mission prayers for God to send His workers into the harvest fields that God puts in our hearts, He uses that prayer to align our hearts with His. And often He uses that prayer to compel us to go. And so, beloved, if you are a disciple of Jesus, let me just remind you that once you were part of that harvest field, and God sent to you in His grace someone to share the good news of Jesus with you, think about who that was. God in His grace sent someone to share the good news of Jesus with you, and God miraculously gave you faith so that you might be saved, so that you might become a part of the family of God, so that you might become a sent one of God. And maybe you've never imagined that you also could be one of those workers. But by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you, you can be. The harvest is plentiful. And God can use you to usher someone into the incredible freedom that is only found in Christ Jesus. God can use you to show the world His kingdom in word and in deed. The command is clear, church. In view of God's incredible mercy towards you, towards me, towards us, let's pray as we go into the harvest field. Let's pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send workers. And then let's go while we pray, so that His kingdom would come in us and through us, and we would be to participate in the greatest harvest of all time, the kingdom harvest. May it be so among us. Amen. I want to invite Mark Jen to come back up. I didn't warn Mark about this, but Mark, would you come up? And I just want us to sing that send us. And Lord, if someone here is in a place where they're not sure they can be sent, if they've put their faith in You, Jesus, I pray that You would just draw them to pray to the Lord of the harvest, that He would send workers into the harvest, Lord. But God, as we pray, would You call us also to go, and that we would continue to pray and go and pray and go together, to go together as a church community. Forgive us, God, for the way that we so often have thought the world is not a harvest that is plentiful, but we've thought of the world as a place that is not open to the gospel, is not interested in You. But God, You remind us in Your word, the harvest is plentiful. So change our thinking as we go out into our daily lives, as we leave this place. Help us to be on the lookout for ways and for people, for communities who are ready, who are welcoming, who want to hear about how You've changed our lives. And then use us, God, for Your kingdom to come. Use us for Your will to be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Let's stand. And as you live that prayer out, I just pray that that rings again and again and again. That prayer, God, take me and use me for Your kingdom to come. And as you go, go remembering that you are sent by the I Am, Jesus, who gives you His Spirit for everyone who puts their faith in Him. He gives you the Holy Spirit of God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you. So pray as you go and see what the Lord does. If there's anything this morning that the Lord might be stirring in you for prayer, maybe it's to come to faith. Maybe it's about anything else that's happening in your life. There's some folks up here who would just love to pray with you. They've been praying throughout the whole service for you. Just invite you to come forward and receive prayer. And now I invite you to receive this blessing from the Lord as we go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. Go in peace.